You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Friday's edition of the podcast where we'll be looking ahead to the action at Fakenham, Sandown and Lingfield. We've also got Wolverhampton and Dundalk to come on Friday night. There's plenty to enjoy on Racing Radio and we go live at 1:20pm with Gordon Brown, Andy Holding and Andrew Mount in the studio to guide you through the day's cards. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, is the aforementioned Mr. Mount to look ahead to four races on Friday. Andrew, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Sam. Thanks very much. And even better, when I got to the studio, I found that Pimmers had left his chocolate digestives here from yesterday. So it feels like I've backed a winner already.
Indeed. Not only chocolate digestives, I think we've got ginger nuts as well. So there's a real variety left by Pimlott Senior. He's good to us here, isn't he, Andrew?
He's very generous. He must have backed a winner yesterday.
Yeah, quite possibly. Before we get on to Friday's racing, obviously we've had some big breaking news regarding the festival yesterday, and that was William Mullins throwing a rather gigantic spanner into the champion hurdle works with the news that Forheen will be ruled out for at least 9 weeks due to a sore suspensory. A disappointment not to see Forheen there, but it's all of a sudden opened up a perhaps non-betting race to... the picture's wide open now.
Yeah, that's right. So it's obviously disappointing when a very good horse misses the festival, but he'll be back. There'll be other opportunities for him. And as you say, rather than 4-1 on, it's now 5-2 the field in places.
Yes, absolutely. He obviously had the next two in the betting, did Mr. Mullins, in Arctic Fire and Nichols Canyon, but never satisfied with just the front two in the market. He wants the front three, and possibly now Annie Power's going to be supplemented to the race.
And even Min, as we were talking about before we came on air. So, I can't imagine he would run Annie Power in this race when he's got Arctic Fire and Nichols Canyon. It wouldn't make a great deal of sense, particularly as Annie Power, it's probably going to be better over longer trips and talked about in terms of the World Hurdle and the Mayor's Race. So dropping back to 2 miles, not ideal. And I think, Arctic Fire was only beaten by a length and a quarter, I think, behind Forheen last year. Mm. 5 lengths back to Hurricane Fly. Take Forheen out last year, and he's got a reigning champion hurdle winner in Arctic Fire. So why not just stick with that one in Nichols Canyon?
Yeah, I mean, that's all well and good, I suppose, from William Mullins' point of view. But will Rich Ritchie be pushing to have a runner in the race? I mean,
That's right, yeah, different owners. Well, he can't win every race at the festival.
He'll have a good go, though.
He obviously wants to, but... I think he'll be talked round and he'll stick Annie Power in a different race.
Okay.
But we'll soon find out.
If he was supplementing, we had a couple of emails in yesterday saying that if they were connections of Arctic Fire and Nichols Canyon, they wouldn't be best pleased to see Annie Power supplemented for the race. But of course, he has got a duty to do what Rich Ritchie wants to do. And I suppose the Wileys and the connections of Arctic Fire, they've known they were going to face Forheen for a year. And if you said to them a few weeks ago, instead of Forheen, you can race Annie Power instead, they'd have probably said, well, yes, please.
Well, that's the nature of the game. There's only so many Grade 1 races to go round. And if you've got a stable full of champions or prospective champions, they have to clash at times. You know, I've had this with Rev de Sivilla, who's favourite for the Rendlesham hurdle at Haydock on Saturday. The yard also has Orbison. And that was the sort of plan for Orbison for a while. And we've thrown a spanner in the works by... reverting from fences and going for that race now. So, Jane Williams, Nick's wife, who owns Orbison, probably not best pleased that, the stable have been asked to run Rev in the same race. But, that's the nature of the game. So it happens.
And as an owner yourself, is it your call primarily rather than the trainers? You say to the trainer, we're keen for him to go to this race?
The trainer will advise.
Right.
But Paul Duffy, who owns the majority share in Rev, has the final say. And he's basically insisted that we go for the Rendlesham. You know, ground dependent. I don't know if is Haydock in danger of being off. I know it's heavy with rain forecasts. So.
Yeah, heavy. You're right. At the time recording, it is officially heavy. Will there be rerouting plans if he doesn't turn up to Haydock?
He's also entered in a handicap chase at Ascot, where the ground's soft, so that meeting should go ahead. But that's the fallback in case Haydock's abandoned.
Okay, just to quickly come back to Cheltenham then for a moment, and indeed Annie Power. After yesterday's belated seasonal reappearance, which with the news about Forheen, no one's really spoke about, did beat two rivals as she was expected to at 1-20. You take the champion hurdle aside for a second, do you now see her with that run more of a world hurdle as her target as opposed to the mares?
I think the mares, you know, is hers for the taking. It depends, you know, how much do you want to win, you know, win a Cheltenham race? Is it, you know, winning a race more important or winning one of the Blue Ribbon championship events? So, you know, she's already running a world hurdle, finishing second to more of that in 2014. And that remains her only run at 3 miles. So perhaps the 2.5 mile trip will be more suitable, and we'll see her in the mares. That's my guess, that she'll go for that.
And if Annie Power was to go for the mares, Vroom Vroom Mag for the world?
Yes, I guess so. She would be diverted there, I suspect. Yeah.
Okay, that's Cheltenham wrapped up for now. Then no doubt there'll be more fallout to Forheen's withdrawal to come, but we must look ahead to matters closer at hand. We go to Friday's racing now. We've got two from Sandown, one from Fakenham and one from Lingfield to bring you on this edition of the podcast, but we start with Sandown's 2:45, their feature race of the day. We've got a grade two mares novices hurdle here. 2 miles and 3 furlongs is the trip for the 7 runners that line up for it, and some decent mares on show here, Andrew.
Yes, this looks like a decent heat. The one that caught the eye particularly was Jesper's Dream of Harry Fry. This one only ran 6 days ago at Warwick. May have been a little bit unlucky. She made the running that day and hit the last and stumbled on landing and went down by just over a length to Fluke Bowl of Gary Moore's. I think it's significant that she's out again so quickly. And Harry Fry's got a great record with his fillies and mares. You know, he wins that race at Ascot about once every other year. The one that bit of a puzzle won a couple of years ago. And, yeah, I think this one perhaps will make the running and be hard to pass. The drop back from 2.5 to 2.3 and a bit will suit. And, yeah, she looks the obvious one tomorrow.
OK, Jesper's Dream then for Andrew. Any live dangers to her in that race?
Yeah, I wasn't... Sunshine Corner, perhaps not, because although she's been winning on heavy ground, it's been at a low level when she's been a short price favourite. And Lucy Wadham said, I don't think she loves this ground, but she gets away with it. And that's not ideal when she's going for a listed race. So I thought perhaps Tara Flo of Venetia Williams would be the main danger. She's had 4 runs for Venetia since her reappearance this term, won 3 of them, finished 2nd at Huntingdon in the other. After which her trainer said that race probably came too soon, just 9 days after her previous win. She's been off for almost 4 weeks, and I think Tara Flo can chase home Jesper's Dream.
OK, Jesper's Dream, the selection, though, for Andrew, for Harry Fry and Noel Feely in the 2:45. We stay at Sandown then for race number 2. This comes up at 3:20. The Royal Artillery Gold Cup is the race in question here. Ran over the trip of 3 miles. We've got 9 runners down for this Class 3. Talk us through this bunch, Andrew.
I'm not a huge fan of this race because I have terrible memories of it when I was a bookmaker, and we never used to win on this particular day.
Right.
As the favourites always seem to win this race, and they've won 7 of the last 10, and they're often short prices. It's also a good race for horses aged between 8 and 10. They've won the last 10 renewals, and which would account against 7-year-old Hattrick Seeker, Very Live. That one would also be getting tons of weight with this, a handicap, and it's not. They're mostly running off sort of 12 stone. So the one I've gone with is Newton Thistle of Ben Pauling. Pulled up last time out, but that was at left-handed Warwick, and has got a much better record on right-handed tracks. Since joining Ben Pauling, he's had 9 runs in this direction, winning 4 of them. And the last time he ran on a left-handed track, he failed to complete, but then bounced back to win at Toaster. Sandown being a stiff right-handed track is quite similar in characteristics to Toaster, and more importantly, Harry Wallace takes the ride, and he's won this twice before in 2010 and 2014. Although I note that he's gone from being Captain Harry Wallace to Mr. Harry Wallace. So perhaps he's been demoted since that last win.
Okay. There's the vote then for Andrew with Newton Thistle for Ben Pauling in the 3:20 at Sandown. We'll go to Fakenham now for their 3:05. This is a handicap chase, ran over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. It's a qualifier for the Challenger Middle Distance Series Chase Final. We've got 7 runners that are taking their chance in this one. What do you like in this field?
The short answer is not a lot. None of these sort of have won in the last few starts. So I tried to think outside the box, really, and I was looking at the Italian yob of Nick Williams. I just thought it very significant that he sent a horse all the way from Devon to Fakenham. And what I noticed with this yard is that when he's sending one a long way, he likes to send two in the same horse box to split the diesel bill.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure I've had shares in one or two that didn't have a hope, but it helped pay towards the travel costs of the one that did have a chance. And he's only got one runner tomorrow, the Italian yob. This one seems, well, his two chase wins have come on good ground, and I noticed they're calling it good to soft at Fakenham, so I think they've gone there for the better going. After he was only fifth on heavy ground at Wincanton last time. He's £6 above his last winning mark, but if you take Lizzie Kelly's £5 claim into account, then that's only £1. And he's got the prominent running style that's served well by Fakenham Sharp Circuit. So, I thought the Italian yob could be the way to go, but it's a very tricky race, and I'd keep stakes to a minimum.
Okay, the Italian yob then getting a tentative vote in that 3:05 for the informed Nick Williams and Lizzie Kelly combination. We go for one on the flat now from Lingfield. This is their 4 o'clock, a filly's handicap here over 7 furlongs. 9 runners down for this Class 3, and again a couple arriving here in winning form, Andrew.
This is a cracking race. One of those ones that won last time out was Slovak of James Tate. This one's had 5 runs in all weather handicaps, winning 3 of them, including 3 of the last 4. Now, her only defeat in her last 4 starts came at Wolverhampton when drawn in stall 10 of 12, and she couldn't get to the lead. She's an out-and-out front runner, made all over a mile here last time, held on by a neck after being very fast away, and made all by 3 lengths at Chelmsford the time before. Now, I've been through the running styles of her rivals, and with the exception of Lady Lydia, who did make the running last time, perhaps on sufferance because it was a very small field, I can't see any other front runners. So I think from stall 1, Slovak's just going to ping and go. And she's back in trip, but she did win it over this trip at Wolverhampton in September. I think she's going to be very difficult to pass.
Slovak then, the vote under Rob Havilland, getting the pick in the 4 o'clock at Lingfield. Any others of note here, Andrew?
There's a couple of interesting ones. Subtle Knife has had 5 runs at Lingfield, won 2 of them, finished 2nd in a photo in one of the others. Could be the main danger from stall 2 for Giles Bravery. And we should also mention Queen Aggie running under a £6 penalty for the Baron Babb syndicates. One thing I did notice, though, is that she rarely wins back-to-back races. Her record following a win is just 1 win from 7 starts, and that came on a 2nd career outing when she was trained by Richard Fahey. And she's also had 9 runs at Lingfield and has lost them all. So, Queen Aggie, while she's in great form and she's a decent animal, I'm not sure it's going to be her day at Lingfield. I think Slovak and Subtle Knife will be the two for that race.
Okay, Slovak then, the ones to take out of the 4 o'clock at Lingfield. Just summarise, please, then, Andrew, your 4 selections for the action on Friday.
Right, in the 2:45 at Sandown, the Grade 2 Mares race, we've got Jesper's Dream. In the 3:05 at Fakenham, tentative pick for the Italian yob. The 3:20 at Sandown and Newton Thistle. And finally, in the 4 o'clock at Lingfield, Slovak.
Thank you very much. There you are. You've been listening to the thoughts of Andrew Mount ahead of Friday's action. Thank you, Andrew. And enjoy the racing on Friday.
Thanks very much, Sam.
And remember to join us here on William Hill Racing Radio. Andrew will be in the studio alongside Andy Holding and Gordon Brown from 1:20 p.m. We've got Fakenham, Sandown and Lingfield on the agenda in the afternoon. Then an evening of all-weather action on Friday from both Wolverhampton and Dundalk. So make sure you join us for all of that on Racing Radio. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.